This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
That was a complete whoop-ass on us. 142-115, Milwaukee just took control and didn't stop. I have to say this, Mark, is Coach Bud did a phenomenal job out there. Unlike any other team, he came ready to play against us from the very beginning. He didn't let any of his guys take a long break. He was committed to making sure these guys played hard and played at all times. If you look at the box score and you see how these guys played, you could tell that Coach Bud really took this very serious, and it's a way to beat us. You go in there knowing that we're gonna, you know, be all out, and you come with your best guys, and you don't let us get our heads above water, and you keep on going. This was a great job by Coach Bud, but the reality is that, you know, when you have a player that scores 39 points in 28 minutes like Giannis did, that was completely spectacular.
Yeah, obviously he's an MVP and their championship team. And, you know, we're trying to figure out how to, you know, get another win. And we played them really well last time. We closed the game to 2 at one point, you know, at the end of the game. So they knew what we do. All the NBA is learning how, you know, no lead is safe. So you have to continue to execute the full 48 minutes of the game. And we did a good job in the first half of keeping it close and keeping it in single digits for most of the first half. The second half, they jumped on us really fast, but we had this tendency all second half to get the lead down to 12, and then we got it right there, and then they would go on a run. And they'd almost get it to 20, and then we would cut it back down to 12, and they would call timeout. The end of the third quarter was a really good close for us. It was one of the best closes to a quarter. We went, in the last minute, we went from being down 19 down to down 12, which was a theme here. And then, you know, coming out, they jumped on us, and we were able to cut it down to 12 again. And the fourth quarter was rough. At the second half of the fourth quarter, they really blew it open. But it was really nice to earn the level of game that we got. And specifically, you mentioned Giannis, right? Like, Giannis played a hell of a game. You know, his points per minute, unreal. But here's what you got to notice with Giannis overall. He went 4-for-4 from deep. And if he's hitting threes and he's getting to the basket, like, how are you going to stop him? And we had Bazley out there guarding him. I thought Bazley did a good job.
Speaking of Bazley guarding him, how do you feel like about that? Because we had Isaiah Roby out there, and it felt like Bazley was the person who was called out to play against him.
I thought he did a good job. I think Bazley might do better against someone like Middleton, but at the same time, that's because he has additional length. It's like you want to match up long against long, so you go Bazley, but Giannis is still longer than Bazley, so it doesn't really necessarily help. I think if maybe we were having somebody who was kind of small playing on Giannis to make it so it was hard for him to dribble, make him uncomfortable, you know, that would be ideal. But as we learned during the game, bro, like, the Thunder had 3 players get surgery yesterday alone. So we're not getting Dort back this season. We're not getting Ty Jerome back this season. And the other Moose guy, what's his name? Who?
Moose.
Yeah, Muscala. That's right. Muscala had foot surgery. For Dort, it was a torn labrum. Dave, you know all about that.
Yeah, torn labrums. Some people can play past of it. You know, for me, it was a slight tear. I was able to play in high school through it. But later in life, I re-injured it again when I was in the military. That is not a fun injury to have to deal with. And, you know, obviously getting it taken care of and making sure the person that takes care of it does it properly is the key to not re-injuring it. So it's no surprise that he'll be out. He'll be out for a good 5-6 months, getting that ready. So beginning of next season, he should be ready to go, which will be kind of good news for us. But, man, that was rough. I have to say, breaking down this game, though, like watching how these guys played and getting back to these guys and you know, nothing against Dort or these other guys, it's kind of just bad news. And I hate to, you know, keep on focusing on bad news with only 16 or 15 games left in the season here. So, one thing I like to do is listen to the other broadcast guys Marquise, he is a next player in the NBA, was on their broadcast team. I really like him, man. He seems like a really cool guy to hang around. In fact, during the game, I saw somebody calling over Lindy Waters, and I was like, before the game, I was like, who the hell is calling over Lindy Waters? And anyways, it was Marquise. He wanted to find out where Lindy Waters hails from, what Indian tribe he came from, all this other stuff. And he was just curious. And it was just really neat because you could tell this he truly cared about these other players. So Lindy Waters goes out there and he has a phenomenal game tonight. 16 points, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 4-for-9 on 3-pointers. Just a phenomenal job, Mark. I was really impressed with the way he played. And every single time he took a shot, Marquise was like, that's money. Look at that shot. Oh, it's so beautiful. You can tell Lindy Waters is special. He's going to be here for a while in Oklahoma City, and I'm really excited about Mark.
Yeah, Marquise Johnson. I had to look that up because I remembered his first name too. But he was a good player for the Bucks and
4th all-time in rebounds.
Right, and he was a guard. So, pretty good, at rebounding there for a guard. And definitely good to hear his perspective, not just on Waters, but also he had a lot of really positive things to say about Poku the whole team. Like
Poku, he gushed really, about, bro.
Yeah.
Like I haven't heard anybody talk about Poku like that ever. I mean, he was talking on and on and on. And what was her name that was the announcer with him anyway, or broadcast team? Anyway, she's like, what is it that of Poku that you like? And he spent 3 minutes, 4 minutes, is going on and on and on about this brain for the game, his knowledge, the fact that he has a 7'3 wingspan. And at the very end, I loved it, Mark. It literally gives me goosebumps thinking about it. They show a picture of Poku, and he's like, before 10 years in the NBA, and then they show a picture of Giannis, and he's like, after 10 years in the NBA. And he's like, yeah, so Giannis started off the NBA as 185 or 190 pounds. 10 years in the NBA will change that. And it was just like this moment. He's not comparing Giannis and Poku as saying these guys would be comparable. He's saying that people that are young start off skinny and they come in and they build weight and they build. And by the end, they look like Giannis. And that's all he's saying is like, it's eventually time is going to come and Poku is not going to be the skinny kid and the little kid anymore.
Yeah, I would love to see that, but I'm doubting anybody else will ever look like Giannis, man. That guy has muscles in places I didn't even know you could. He has muscles on top of muscles, and he looks like freaking ridiculous. And it's pretty awesome to watch him go out there and honestly have to play a really good game. And that's awesome for our young guys. You got players like you mentioned, Roby and Baisley, who get this experience, and you need it. You want to play against a championship-level team, and you want to make them come out and play hard. And they gave us a lot of respect because that's the ultimate respect in this league. And, we're always talking about competing for 4 quarters, and although the end of the 4th quarter got a bit out of hand with the final score, we were able to make them call timeout, because we were putting on a run. And when they came out of the timeout, each time they did this, because they did it in the 3rd quarter also, they came out with a lot of intensity and they played us really, really hard. And that's really valuable for these young guys to go through experiences of getting that level of ball pressure. They felt playoff intensity, even though it wasn't a playoff game. And that's the respect of your opponent. And the Bucks, they have another game tonight. So for them, they want to come out and beat us in a way where they can be fresh. But we didn't let them just walk away with it until the final, 4 to 6 minutes of the game when it got out of hand. But other than that, we really saw a great game. And overall, like if you look at what the Bucks did from 3-point land, they were 20 for 40, so 50% there. But for us, we were 16 out of 39. So we shot 41% from 3-point land. That's really important for this team. Aaron Wiggins, he shot 2 for 3, and he ended up with 8 points overall. Baisley, 1 for 4, and he ended up with 9 points overall. Roby was 1 for 2. And let's see, Trey Mann was 1 for 6. So that was fine. But then you go on to Shea, he was 3 for 3. Lindy Waters was 4 for 9. Poku was 2 for 5, Vit was 1 for 3, Sar was 1 for 1, and Teo was the only guy who didn't hit a 3 who played, and he was 0 for 2. But that's really good contributions from this team, and we got to see a good game from Shea too.
Yeah, Shea near triple-double right there, man. That was I thought he was going to pull it off there. 33 points, 1 block, 3 steals, 14 assists, guys, 8 rebounds. 8-for-12 on free throws, and 3-for-3 on three-pointers, like Mark said, 11-for-18 on field goals, 18 shots, 33 points. Again, so incredibly efficient. It's really incredible. You know, I want to say this, as looking at the score, 39 points for Milwaukee in the first quarter. We scored 34, so we were only down 5 after Milwaukee just came out and just ready to roll. In the second quarter, we scored 31 points. Milwaukee scored 37, so now we're down 11 at halftime. We scored 28, and Milwaukee scores 29 in the third. So now we are only down 12 going into that fourth quarter. And it looks good. And we come back and we fight in that fourth quarter, and then all of a sudden it was just like, whoom, and it just went slow. And it just sucked because that's the moment, man. That's the moment that I felt like, you know, the bottom dropped out, that there was no longer going to be a, you know, a simple little game. And that's what happened. You know, they just went out there and they scored a bunch of points really, really fast, and it made this look completely out of control. They did a great job with a Portis-Giannis matchup, and Roby had to play Portis, which Portis did a great job on Roby. And Bazley had to play against Giannis, and Bazley did a great job on offense with Giannis on him. He would drive around. We saw Poku out there playing a lot of minutes against Giannis and Portis as well. So again, there was just a really good job by these guys as a team effort to do what they needed to keep it close. And then all of a sudden, in that fourth quarter, it was just like lights out. We had trouble scoring, and they didn't have trouble scoring. They kept on scoring, and that's how they pulled away. And it's just the way it goes with young teams sometimes.
Yeah, they have a very efficient offense, and they get a lot of shots where they want to shoot them. And for us, you know, we're still figuring things out, but we definitely earned their respect, and I appreciate how hard these guys played. Our second leading scorer today with a career high, Lindy Waters. He put up 6 of 11 shooting and a total of 16 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 steal. Dude, you already mentioned him earlier, but you got to give him a lot of props for going out there and playing at a really high level. He is a very good shooter, as Marquise Johnson kept mentioning, but, you know, sometimes, I mean, I haven't really heard many people make a big deal about Lindy Waters, but they're out there making a big deal about him, and he lives up to the hype. And I mean, what else can I say? I mean, great game by him.
Yeah, and we love to see this by young guys. We have so many rookies that are playing right now. I think we have 5 on the court. Wiggins, Trey Mann, Waters, Sar, and Veet. Is that right, Mark? That's yep. 5, yeah. So, you know, 5 guys. And speaking of that, we had both Veet had 19 minutes tonight, which is great by him. He had 6 points, 1 steal, 2 assists, 1 rebound, which is an offensive board. He had an and one and hit 1-3. So I felt like he just did a great job out there making sure the ball got passed around. The ball doesn't sit in his hands. This is what I love about Krejci, is the ball just does not sit in his hands. It's touched, boom, it's gone. He touches it, boom, it's gone. If he's doing something with it, he's driving to the hole, it's great. But 19 minutes, man, he's earning those minutes right now. He's doing a great job.
Yeah, and when we were playing in that third quarter, that final minute where we put on a hell of a run, we cut the lead down to 12, and then we got the ball back whenever Milwaukee threw it out of bounds. And we had it on the baseline. We had, I think, 5 seconds left on the clock. And Lindy Waters missed a 3 that could have cut it down to 9. And there was this sense of disappointment, obviously, with Lindy, but Veet walked over to him and started talking to him, and he picked him up. And that's one thing I really appreciate about Veet, is that he is a great teammate, and he's committed to making the people around him better. You can tell that by the way he passes the ball. But then something like that, you know, it means a lot to me. Those are 2 rookies, but Veet has had professional experience, and he saw an opportunity to pick up a teammate, and he did that. So kudos to Veet.
Yeah, and to me, like, I love to see our young players understand what's going on. Even though Veet is younger than Waters, it's still good to see. Poku had a great night tonight, 28 minutes, 13 points, 4 assists, 7 rebounds, 2 of which were offensive, 3-for-4 on the free throw line, and 2-for-6 on three-pointers. And again, just all around, I felt like he just did a phenomenal job all night. 4-for-10 on field goals isn't necessarily the greatest percentage, but he was attacking the hole and getting to the hole, and that was what was most important. So good job by Poku.
You know, we had a good game today from Isaiah Roby. It was great to have him back, and he was in the starting lineup. 5-of-7 from the field. He ended up with 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 12 points. So, you know, going out there, competing at a high level. He started opposing center was Bobby Portis, and that's a tough lineup. That's another different, you know, style. Portis is shooting over 40% from behind the arc. And so it's stretching Roby to go out there and play these different players defensively. I thought he did a good job there. He did a good job, you know, playing team rebounding. But in the end, you know, this is just good to have him on the court right now.
Yeah, it really is. It's glad I'm glad that he's able to play and not one of the injured guys because he needs to get the minutes. Trey Mann, 11 points tonight, 1 steal, 2 rebounds, 1 for 6 on 3-pointers, 5 for 13 field goals. Had a kind of a rough night, but his defense was really on point. So again, I'm not too focused on the offensive side with Trey Mann.
The thing about Trey was his 3-point shot was obviously off. He was creating the space he wanted, but they were closing it quickly because they knew he was going to the step back. But as that was happening, he started shifting to driving and using his runner more. And that was a really good counter. That shot was falling and the step back wasn't, and he was able to read the situation and he reacted appropriately.
No, you're absolutely right, man. And that's what's impressive about him. He's learning how to morph his game into whatever the defensive team is giving him. So he's doing a great job on that. We had a couple guys that got some minutes out there that didn't get as many great stats as typical, but Olivia Saar had 11 minutes out there. He had 2 huge blocks and he had a 3-pointer. Great job by him consistently getting out there. I didn't realize this about him, but he has a 7'3 wingspan, which is kind of cool too. So we have 3 guys that have 7'3 wingspans. I think it's Olivia Saar, Poku, and I want to say Moose has the other 7'3 wingspan. So anyways, it's really cool to see that. The other guy was Teo Maledon, 14 minutes, 4 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, one of which was offensive, 0 for 2 on 3-pointers, but just a really great job at running that offense when he was out there tonight.
Yeah, and we mentioned Baisley on the defensive end. I don't remember if we talked about his offense end, but he scored 9 points of 4-9 shooting, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. Good performance by him. I thought he was aggressive at the right times, and his shot wasn't falling, but whenever he hit that one, I think it was the last 3 he shot. So it's good to see him, you know, continuing to shoot with confidence, and his shot will come around. These guys are young, and these are really important reps for them to get out, and continuing to practice, you know, game-like situations is important. So these will help them for the offseason. Obviously, we wanted the win, but, you know, you got to temper your expectations. The Bucks are playing really, really hot, and so our goal coming in was 4 quarters of competitive basketball. And I was impressed with how they played. And, you know, Milwaukee gave us a really good shot. I mean, they put up, 142 points. And, you know, we know, you know, if a game is out over, 120, we're going to have trouble winning. We got to keep it, you know, 110 and lower. So that's where, you know, I kind of look at it. And I'm like, you know, we got to – go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, Marquise Jones, man. What he was saying was great. About the way that, you know, we were playing out there tonight. I just felt like, again, looking at this team and looking at the way that we went out there and had a chip on our shoulder and didn't let Milwaukee run away with it until pretty much the middle of the fourth quarter was key. This team is really, really good. The way that you look at the design of the team, the coaching staff of this team, they are a championship caliber team. Probably will get to the at least the East Coast Finals this year. I look at them as being one of those teams that you know, you like to see do well because they're a small market and they figured it out by going through the draft and trading for young players that have been drafted by other teams. I look at the way that they have done things as the proper way. So again, do I look at this as the blowout, like as it's a horrible thing and getting Milwaukee the most points they scored this year as a bad thing? No, like this is what happens. I think we have 3 of the highest scoring games this season. 142 was this game, 138 last game, and 100 and whatever that one game that we got blown up by, you know, 50 points, whatever. But the point is that we were a top 10 defense until we had all these injuries. And now we've kind of fallen back, and that's okay because this is a team that's playing, you know, 10 guys right now, and 5 of those guys are rookies. And seven of those guys are teenagers. So to me, or not teenagers, teenagers are rookies. So to me, it's not a bad thing what's going on with this team. It's just a part of the process of growing. And it means that there's going to be a lot of uncomfortable moments, a lot of uncomfortable minutes. But I look at this, Mark, and I say 3.5 quarters of competitive basketball to a championship caliber team is a way to go. That's great for these guys. Now, the half quarter that we just got our asses handed to us, that like sucked. But if we just look at the 3.5 quarters that we did really well and all these things that happened that were really good, I mean, that was a fun game to watch.
It was, and I came away feeling the same exact way. There were some things about the game that, you know, aren't like we like it. Like one of the things I'd say was the second chance points. We gave up too many second chance points, and that can really hurt when you play a great defensive possession, but then you don't finish it with a rebound. And but on the other hand, our fast break points, we held them under 10 points. And we know Milwaukee likes to run. So I look at that and I say that's a building block. And, you know, while we gave up 50% three-point shooting, we shot 41%. And that's, you know, accumulation of hard work that's, you know, coming out in a lot of ways. So I'm with you, man. We got to look at these positives and come out and just realize, like, this is a special time right now. We're watching these guys grow up right before our eyes. Some of them, even on two-way contracts, are playing in the rotation, and that's really important. Watching this progression is great, and it'll give us an idea of what we can expect for next year. So we have a good idea. Like, it stinks to lose those guys to, you know, surgery, but I'm all right understanding that they're going to be healthy for next year.
Yeah, and I want to throw this out here. Mark and I have been talking and discussing about this. We would love to talk to if you are an Australian, born and raised in Australia, we want to talk to you guys because we want to talk about Josh Giddey. During this time that Josh Giddey is injured right now, we want to have an episode coming up here where we just talk about Josh Giddey's young playing career. And if you are knowledgeable in Josh Giddey's young playing career, we would love to have you guys on that show coming up here. So reach out to us, either Mark or I. Mark's on Twitter, and you can reach out pretty much any other platform you want. On social media there. So we would love to have you guys on for that show so we can talk about it. We've been doing some studying, and we just want to get to the bottom of some of the stuff. So again, this is all about Josh Giddey coming up here soon. But anyways, get back to this game and talking about it. Looking at these guys, the way they played out there tonight, Mark, I have to say the big thing that I look at is our bench, 42 points. Great job by these guys. We scored 23 points off of turnovers. We only had 15 turnovers tonight, which is great because Milwaukee's defense is phenomenal. We had a 6-point lead in the first quarter. I think that's great. And fast break points, we had 11 and Milwaukee only had 8. To me, these are great things that I look at that are great. We had 40 points in the paint and they had 50 points in the paint. That's not necessarily a good thing, but I felt like this was a great job by these guys to keep things close that we needed to keep close.
Yeah, I agree. Building blocks. And, you know, one of the worst games all season was the last game we played against the Timberwolves, and we played them tonight. So I'm hoping that we can keep some of these things going. Obviously, we need to do a lot of things better if we're going to beat them. But I see it, man. I don't think they're as good as how they played us. They just hit all their shots. So I'm hoping that we can come out and compete for 4 quarters and get a chance to get a win against them.
That's it. I mean, that's what we have to be doing the rest of the games. The rest of the time is looking at each game as blank slate and competing for 4 quarters to see if we can keep it close enough to strike and get the win. These guys are young, but we have Shea. Shea is obviously doing phenomenal things right now. If he continues this streak of amazing basketball, Mark, this is going to be exciting because I think he could put up some games where, I mean, have we had a guy since KD or even Russ that has put up 10, 15 games in a row with 30 points?
No way, man. No way.
And that's what I'm saying is that, like, this has an opportunity. Shea has an opportunity for this. Yes, he only scored 29 in one of the, six games that he scored. He's been back. But 5 of the other games, he scored 30. So I think it's one of those things that we could be talking about is could he be one of those guys that scores 10, 15 games in a row with 30 or more points? Again, if he does this, then he's making a name for himself at the very end of the season. And all this hype that he could build for himself would be great for next season for All-Star, for All-NBA, when it matters about making, you know, big bucks for him next year, all these things that are big for him, he's got to continue this, and I think that Shea will.
Yeah, dude, he's been playing hot. There's only two other players who are averaging more points than him since the All-Star break, and he's on a tear, and he's also, he put up 13 or 14 assists today? Like, I don't understand it, man. Like, I watched the game, but for me, it's hard to believe that he put up that many because, you know, like, that just means people are knocking down shots finally, and we've been in that spot where it's like, if people knock down shots, then he could do that, but here we are. We've been talking about him playing the shooting guard, and he comes out and, you know, he rubs it in our face.
Yeah, but how different would his game be at shooting guard than it was tonight?
Not that different, no.
That's the whole point of but at all. Like, that's what's happening right now is that there's not much difference in the way that he's playing right now when you slip in Josh Giddey. Yeah, there's going to be some kinks to work out and where Josh is standing when the ball's not his hand and where, you know, Josh or Shea's at, but those are the small kinks. Like the fluid basketball is still going to be there. And people are like, well, can Shea average 30 points a game? Well, you know, Josh is averaging, you know, blank. Yeah, he can. Because what he does, it's not, you know, what Josh does isn't taking shots away from Shea. It's adding shots to what Shea can do. You know, instead of taking 18 shots tonight, Shea could have had 25 shots wide open, you know, like, and he could have scored 45. So to say that, you know, it's going to make him worse by taking the ball out of his hands. No, like, that's not what's happening. It's just learning how to share the ball differently than it already is. And I looked at tonight, the way that Shea was playing, and I just said to myself, how is this different than Shea playing the two some of the time? And it's not. It's just a different spot.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That's a great point. And I think that's what it's all about is, you know, we were hoping to see more of, you know, SGA and Giddey on the court at the same time. We're not sure if we're going to get that opportunity. It's still a chance, but, you know, Shea definitely can play both guard positions and he shoots the ball well enough. Obviously he's going to get more opportunities to do that when Giddey's out there. So I think you have some really good points there for sure.
I don't know. I look at Josh's game. It complements what we're trying to do in Oklahoma City. You know, watching him in that 10 game span, but even more so before that, and watching how his game morphed into really being the, you know, the person with the ball in his hands the most. And looking at Shea, yes, Shea needs the ball in his hands, but does Shea need the ball in his hands as much as he has already? Yes, but it's going to look different. You know, it's going to be different. It's going to be more wide open shots. It's going to be Shea cutting to the basket. It's going to be more different things like that, that it's going to add to what Shea can do. So to me, it's just going to take time for them to figure everything out. It's going to take time to see how it all works out. But I don't really care who's running point guard and who's running shooting guard, because it's all going to end up being the ball running through Shea's hands. Like, that's the thing that people are forgetting, is that it doesn't really matter where the ball starts. It's where it ends up. You know, it's kind of like, you know, all those coaches say, it doesn't matter who starts the game. It's matter who's ends the game, right? As they're slurring over their alcohol. Like, to me, like, this is exactly where, like, these guys are going at. It's not about where the ball's starting. It's where the ball's ending and whose hands it is, who's opened, you know, like all these other things that Josh creates for everybody else. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited about people getting healthy and us not just hitting this, you know, injury ridden road like for two straight years now. And it sucks, man. Yes, we're all young and yes, we're trying to get to shape, but it's hard to see. It's hard to say, oh man, we could have had a chance to win this game if we had Dort and Moose and all these other guys back. And like, it sucks because this team is ready to win some games.
And speaking of, I'm going to go ahead and call it, bro. I feel like we're going to win tonight by double digits, and Shea will put up a 40-plus point game. So, you know, that's just my feeling right now. I haven't felt like we were going to be able to call a win for a while, but here we go, bro. Let's get this win.
Yeah, against Minnesota. I mean, why not, man? I mean, why not? That's at 8 p.m. Eastern. You know, Minnesota has a swagger right now. They beat us pretty handily last time, or 13 points or whatever, but and then we just got beat 142. Minnesota is one of those teams that will be like, ah, yeah, we got this game easy. And we could come out and just stomp them. So hopefully that's the case. It'd be nice to have a win after an ass whooping like this.
Yeah, and then we got a couple of days off. So, you know, that would be great to have that going into those practices. But, you know, obviously that's what we're hoping for. And, you know, we appreciate everybody continuing to join us. We'll be back tomorrow with a post-game episode. Thanks again. We'll see you then. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.